Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, March 8, 1987. We're certainly happy to be able to fellowship with you by means of this tape. May the Lord give you a blessing as you fellowship with us in the singing and the preaching of God's Word. God bless you. This time, Brother Tom will come and introduce the choir for us.
Well, since the days are getting longer, we're going to change our choir practice from Wednesday to Tuesday, but not this coming Tuesday. It'll be a week from now. But anybody that still wants to join up with us and help our choir, we still got some room. So. But we're going to start meeting on a Tuesday night so we can go from 6 to possibly 8, and we may learn a little bit more for Easter. We're working on our Easter songs right now. But this morning our special is Jesus is Walking with Me.
Jesus has promised in Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I believe the Lord can be even more precious down in the valleys of life than He can up on the mountaintops. We know this, He's walking with us. He certainly will never leave us. Brother Sutton is going to come to read our scripture for us. Just a little bit. Would you come up, Brother Sutton? And I would like to mention these prayer requests while he's coming up. We do want to continue to pray for Martha's dad, Brother John Baker, and he goes back to the doctor, I think, Tuesday, day after tomorrow. Let's be lifting him up in prayer. And also, Marie Duff Marable. Some of you all know this lady. I don't know if I know her or not, but she does need her prayers also. And as well as all these listed here in the bulletin, we're certainly glad and thankful for all the Lord is doing in each of these lives that we have listed here in the bulletin today. Brother Sutton, would you come and read our scripture for us and lead us in prayer, brother?
Each one of you get your Bible. I trust you all have your Bibles with you before we're finding life. I believe you'll all agree with me. Your Bible is more important to you than your ID card is. And our lesson today is found in Philippians 3, 17 to 19. Philippians 3, 17 to 19. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have as for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That's one prayer, please. I graciously have my Father, we thank you this day, this Sabbath day. We thank you for each and every one here today who has love in our heart that can come to the Lord's house and receive the blessing of being in the Lord's house. We pray for the ones that haven't accepted thee. We pray today will be the day that their hearts will change and come to thee. We know that God's door is always open, and if you reject it, it's your own fault. We pray for the sick and afflicted, one of the spiritual sick that hadn't accepted thee. We pray that we give them another chance to accept thee. We pray for the ones that lost one along. We pray that they be helped in other ways and cause them to look forward for a better place to go. We pray for the sick and afflicted, one in the hospital, one in the nursing home. And above all, we pray for our leaders of our country that we can have a better place to live and a better place to die when we leave, go travel this last mile. Go with us through the remainder of this service and pray that our message from our message today will touch someone's heart and cause them to come to thee before it's ever too late. We know that we don't know when God will come. He will come to the thief in the night. We pray that I will be able to receive him when he comes. Go with us through the remainder of this day and forgive us for we have failed. In Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Okay, for our last hymn, let's get us a hymn book. Page 177, Victory in Jesus. Let's stand and sing all three verses.
Yeah.
Would you lead us in prayer for the offering, please?
Father, we thank thee for this day, the time, Lord, you've allowed us to be here to study, to hear thy word. Just pray, Lord, that this offering may be given freely and with your directions, we can use it to further glorify your name and uplift this ministry. Just pray, Lord, for those who are sick and shut in, that you may help them, heal them, bring them back to us quickly. Pray that you will bless each and every home resident here today. In Christ's name we pray.
Girls, for that wonderful song, Jesus paid it all, and all we have to do is accept it. freely. The old devil offers us wages. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And that's all the devil has to offer you. Eternal death. Spiritual death. Eternal separation. The lake of fire. I'm glad, on the other hand, we can have our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We can trust Jesus. So that when you and I leave the scene, we can leave some hope for our loved ones on where we've gone. Today we're going to be speaking on the enemies of the cross. And certainly, there are only two groups of people on this earth right now. And that's those who are for the Lord and those who are against the Lord. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." We have the gardeners down here for a special. We've got four of the gardeners here with us today. Maybe next Sunday. We'd certainly been happy to have you all sing for us today. Have us a song for next Sunday, all right? We certainly appreciate the gardeners so much. I played a song for the homebound people this past week that the gardeners sang 5 years ago at our homecoming in 1982. A song, "What a Beautiful Day for the Lord to Come Again." And certainly, my friends, any day is a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. David and I were on the bus this morning coming to church, and I mentioned the fact that about the Lord's return. And certainly, no matter what kind of day it is, it's going to be a beautiful day for Jesus to come to rapture the church home. We're not home yet. Verse 20 of Philippians 3 says our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to change our vile body. I trust you're on the Lord's side today. Moses got up one day in the Old Testament and he said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me." And my friends, we need to be on the Lord's side. We're on the victor's side. So many times when I worked at Camp Nathaniel, on Saturday morning, when I was a team leader through the week, it was always a blessing to me to be able to march in around those tables while everyone else sang on the victory side. You can be on the victory side when you know the Lord. The cross of Christ. Are you an enemy of the cross? If you are, there are four characteristics we want to look at today. Our two key verses this morning are going to be found in Galatians and Colossians. Galatians 6:14, Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." And Colossians 1:20, Paul said, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." I appreciate today the cross. The cross on which Jesus died, the old rugged cross. The songwriter said, "At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, my spiritual eyesight. And now I'm happy all the day. Thank God for the cross. On that cross, Jesus gave the supreme sacrifice. He gave himself freely. He gave the devil a black eye from which he has never recovered, because he died, was buried, and rose again. The gospel. He died according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Brother Perry Sanders spoke to us at the Evangelism Conference in Elizabethtown the 23rd and 24th of February. And the last message he spoke, last message he gave us, was evangelize at all cost. And he mentioned this. He's pastor of First Baptist Church in Lafayette, Louisiana, just right next to Louisiana State University, down in the Cajun country. And he said this, if I had been at the trial of Jesus, when Pilate said, what shall I do then with Christ, with Jesus, which is called the Christ? He said, if I had been there that day or that night, I would have said with the mob, crucify him, crucify him. This was the only way for a holy God to bring unholy men together. The only way. So I appreciate the cross today, don't you? The cross. One time a man dreamed that he was at the crucifixion of Jesus. And he walked up to one of the soldiers at the cross. And he grabbed him by the arm and jerked him away from Jesus. And the man turned and he recognized himself. My friend, all of us put Jesus on the cross. My sin, your sins. Our sins put Jesus there. And he died in our place. And out of love in our hearts for a wonderful Heavenly Father who was so gracious in giving us his Son, today we need to open up our hearts and let this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ come in the person of the Holy Spirit and seal us unto the day of redemption. Are you on the Lord's side? Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Jesus, or rather God, made peace through the blood of his cross. First of all, enemies of the cross are headed in the wrong direction. Get on the narrow road today. Philippians 3:19, and the first part of that verse says, whose end is destruction. The Living Bible says it like this. Their future is eternal loss. Whose end is destruction. The only direction that an enemy of the cross is going is destruction. The rich man, the Bible says, he died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Destruction. Where are you going right this very moment at 25 to 12? By the clock on the wall. Where are you going right this very moment? Are you on the narrow way? Or the broad way? Are you going up or down? Sometimes I get on the elevator over here at the hospital, and when the door opens, someone is already on the elevator. And they ask me, going up or down? Especially when I get on at the first floor, the second floor. Are you going up or down? You know, I apply that spiritually. I thank God that we're going up when Jesus comes. We're going up. Our end is not destruction. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Get off the broad way. The crowd is going down. Jesus said, "Few there be that find it." But David said in Psalm 103 and verse 4, it says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." The Lord redeems us. Fanny Crosby wrote a song, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, his child, and forever I am," Fanny Crosby said. The Lord today redeems our life from destruction. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, "He brought me up out also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock." You do not have to go on like you are. There's hope. There's hope. "He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." Tim and I were traveling one day on the Daniel Boone Parkway going home. And I looked above our house, and there was a forest fire raging. And so we hurried home and got on some old clothes and took off up the hill. When we got up there, the forest ranger and another man were already there fighting the fire. And his helper said to me, "Do you have any water? Do you have any water?" You know what this fellow said when I said, "I don't have any? I didn't bring any with me?" I've never forgotten this. He said, "Oh, what I would give for a drink of water. What I would give for a drink of water." That fire was hot. I told you about having the word destination and spelling when I taught school. Over in the back of that speller, the definition said, the place where a journey ends. And my friend, if you're an enemy of the cross, if you have never trusted Jesus, you have never opened your heart to the wonderful Holy Spirit and allowed Him to come in, your end right now, your destination is destruction. That's what the Bible says. You can get off the broad way, though, and get on the narrow way. Not only are people who are following the devil, the enemies of the cross, not only are they going in the wrong direction, but Paul says here in Philippians 3, verse 19, whose God is their valley. In other words, the Living Bible says it like this, for their God is their appetite. They satisfy only the old nature. You know what? That's all a sinner has that's never been saved, is the old Adamic nature from Adam. We have to have a new nature to get to heaven. We have to be born again from heaven, whose God is their belly. They only satisfy their appetite, their fleshly appetite. Our goal in life had better be something besides satisfying this old outward man that drags us down. We have two natures as a Christian. And Paul had a battle with this. He said, for the good that I would, I do not. Paul said also, and I believe it's in Galatians, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that I cannot do the thing that I would. I trust God will stir us today to give the best to the Lord, that we'll have some works as a Christian that will stand the fiery test of 1 Corinthians 3. Paul said in Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members, and that means our hands, feet, eyes, ears, our whole body. He says, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We were dead in sin. And now as a Christian, we're to be dead to sin. And let not sin therefore reign, stay in your mortal body. In fact, Paul said in the first part of this chapter, chapter 3 and verse 3, the last part of it says, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. I believe another way that describes the enemies of the cross, not only are they headed in the wrong direction, not only do they satisfy this old man, this old outward man, but third, they're not ashamed of their sinful ways. Philippians 3:19, the third part of this verse says, whose glory is in their shame. They are proud of what they should be ashamed of, says the Living Bible. I heard this statement one time, and I believe it's true. Many people have forgotten how to blush. Now, I want to say it again. Many people have forgotten how to blush and be ashamed, whose glory is in their shame. They are proud of what they should be ashamed of. We need to walk the highway instead of the low way. I believe last that the enemies of the cross are too earthbound. Look what it says there in the last part of verse 19. Who mind earthly things. The Living Bible translation says, and all they think about is this life here on earth. My friends, you and I are just going to be here a short time, compared to trillions of years. Eternity will never end. It's forever. And the destination we go to, we're not going to get out. It's forever. As far as we know, the rich man is still in hell, waiting the great white throne judgment. He's still there crying for a drop of water. Who mind earthly things? I would like for us to be concerned about heavenly things. Let's don't be so concerned. I know we like to live our life the best we can here on this earth. But my friend, I'm here this morning with God's help to say that we need to be less earthbound. The Daily Bread said one time, don't drive your stakes too deep. You may be leaving in the morning. The enemies of the cross, Paul says, they mind earthly things. There are four verses in Colossians, the third chapter, that really mean a lot to me. It starts out with if. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know what Jesus said? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, food, clothing, shelter, the needs we have will be added unto you if you put Jesus first. It says, set your affection on things above. Notice how Paul emphasizes above. Seek those things that are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I'm glad my Christianity doesn't depend upon whether the Wildcats win or lose, or any other team I'm for wins or loses. Seems like everybody I've been for here lately is on the losing side. But I'm glad my Christianity does not depend upon whether the Wildcats win the SEC tournament or whatever. The Lord's been, most of y'all know I like basketball. The Lord's been speaking to me, when the Wildcats are up, I'm up. When they're down, I'm down. That shouldn't be. My Christianity is on a solid foundation. It's on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to seek things above. 10 trillion years from today, it's going to matter, friends, if we have talked to someone about their soul and they've been saved. It's going to really matter if we've been the type of Christian the Lord would have us to be. We better live every day with eternity in view. That's what I wrote Tim in the last letter I wrote him. Live every day with eternity in view. Someday we're going to meet God face to face. And Paul says here to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Because he said, ye are dead. Don't you like that? He says, you're dead. Dead to sin, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What a wonderful place. A place of security. I'm glad I'm a Christian today. It says here, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. This is why, friends, we need to know the Lord. We don't know when He's coming. But as sure as He went away, He's coming again. He's coming. When He shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Are you on the Lord's side? Do you know Jesus? How often do you and I think about heaven? About Jesus. About what lies out there in the future. About what it's going to be like in eternity. We need to live with eternity in view. I'd like to close with this illustration. After this, we're going to read verses 20 and 21 here in Philippians 3. At the evangelism conference in Elizabethtown, there was a fellow on Tuesday night gave a testimony. He's a converted world champion poker player by the name of Rick Hamill, H-A-M-I-L. He gave a testimony of how God came into his life. He was living out in Las Vegas, Nevada. Lost. Money rolling in. On drugs, cocaine, the whole bit. One morning he looked on his dresser and he had 27 cents. That's all he had to his name. And the old devil wanted him to go and take his own life. He was going to go up on top of one of those casinos in Las Vegas, Nevada, and just end it all. He said they call that where he was going, Lover's Leap. Said they swept him up there pretty often. But you know, on the way to taking his own life with only 27 cents to his name, a man who had lost his wife, his Cadillac, his sports car, Corvette, the whole thing, he lost it all. 27 cents to his name, was sidetracked. Someone who knew Rick Hamill said, why not go in the steam room and sweat some of this stuff out of your system? And he went in the steam room there in one of the casinos. Steam in there, he thought he was by himself, and all at once he heard a voice. Praise the Lord! Then he heard another voice. Glory be to God in the highest. And he got out of there right fast, he said. He thought some of those demons that was in him was acting up. But Rick Hamill was in that steam room with two preachers that he didn't know was in there. They talked to him about the Lord. They invited him to a Bible study. And Rick went. Make a long story short, he put his faith and trust in the Lord. Was saved in 1985. He asked the Lord where the Lord would have him to go. And the Lord seemed to say to him, Las Vegas. The Lord saved him in Las Vegas, and the Lord said, go back there and be a witness for me. My friend, the Lord can come into your life today. He can clean you up, wash you white in His precious blood. Your life can have meaning. He set you on the solid rock. Philippians 3, 20 and 21 says, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Where is your citizenship? I hope your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, because I believe the Lamb's Book of Life is going to be at the great white throne judgment. The Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Thank God Jesus died for us. Brother Tom will come at this time to lead us in our invitation hymn. This song says, just as I am. This is how the Lord would have you to come, just as you are. The old devil would have us to believe that we can quit one habit, another habit, another habit, and get good enough to be saved. This song says, written by Charlotte Elliott, she said, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Why not trust Jesus this morning? If you are here as a Christian, and the Lord's impressing on you to make some type of decision, follow the Lord. Follow Him as Brother Tom comes to lead us in this hymn. Let's stand, please. Page 217.